Jeff, over to you, mate. Great to have you with us.
Thanks, John. And it is great to be speaking to a congregation that's really on side. The things that I passionately believe in and we're doing as a missionaries out in Banksia Grove. Sometimes I speak to congregations that aren't wired that way, but you guys are, and it's a real pleasure to sort of feel really comfortable and as though I'm not about to be lynched, so that's a good thing. A little bit about me. I have a family, a wife and four kids aged between 6 and 2, and we've been doing what we've been doing for about 4 years. So if you do the mathematics, you can work out that it's been a busy time for us. And that if you have kids, you have no excuse. Although Martin Lloyd-Jones was talking to a group of doctors and lawyers who were working, you know, 70, 80 hours a week, that sort of thing. And he was talking to them about their faith and how they express it. And they said, you know, we work really long hours. And he said, as an old man, he could get away with this kind of comment. He said, well, look, you really have no excuse. It's a matter of priorities, really, isn't it? He gave him a hard time about it. He said, although I would make one exception. And that is mothers with children under 6. Well, that's pretty good. So maybe my wife's just exceptional, but we've been able to continue to do mission even in this busy time of life, and it's great. Now, I'll be talking a little bit about some of what we believe behind that drives us this morning. I also work for an organisation called Outreach and Church Ministries, and this is not what pays the bills for our mission out in Banksia Grove. It's just what I do for a day job, which is why I'm standing here. It's in my capacity with Outreach and Church Ministries. But the mission that we do in our spare time is literally that. It's just outside work hours. It's our own discretionary time that we do all the things that you're going to hear about today and tonight and that I've been banging on about all weekend. Now, in my capacity at OAC, I'm an outreach specialist in community development and also Christian education. It's just a nice neutral way of saying an evangelist. And so as a result, I'm often talking about the core elements of the gospel. There's nothing really new there. But today, it's a little bit different. Some of the things that I say today may seem new to some of you. And often when we hear something new, we try to just put it in the grid of what we already know. And if it's really new, it's not really fitting. And so then we tend to react to it a little bit. And so what I'm asking for is a little bit of patience and tolerance with me to hear what I really am saying. And then I don't mind if you disagree with me after that. But first, try to appreciate the significance of what I'm talking about today. Well, let me begin with the fact that the theme of what we've been talking about, that mission is in the very nature of God. Mission is just a word that means sent. A missionary is someone who is sent. And I think this is a very loving idea. The idea of sending myself out of myself towards somebody else. Of extending towards somebody else. Isn't that love? A good definition. Obviously not the only definition of love. But sentness is certainly at its best, should essentially be out of love. And it's the very nature of God from the beginning when he sends out his word and stuff comes into being. And then he sends himself into the garden to walk and talk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. He just is always going out of himself towards those that he loves. And even when Adam and Eve muck it up and they get kicked out of the garden, God comes too. He can't hang back. And so he's always sending himself, and he sends, you know, the prophets, and he gives the people a king, and he sends the nation of Israel to be a light to the nations. There's this sending always going on. And of course, he sends himself most clearly in the person of Jesus, who says, as the Father sent me, so I send you. And so the sending continues, and it's most clearly personified in Jesus. Jesus sends himself because of his love as well. And of course, he sends the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is sent too. To who? Us. Fantastic, isn't it? And so the sending of love continues. So that's why the theme, love, expresses itself in mission. Another word for sending. So it should be no surprise if sending is in the nature of God, in the nature of the Son, in the nature of the Holy Spirit, then it should be no surprise that sending should be the nature of the church too. That we, in the very DNA of who we are as the church, send ourselves out towards others. If we have anything like the love of God, we should be orientated that way too, shouldn't we? You know, people say I'm full of the Spirit because I feel a tingle. I'm not belittling spiritual experiences. That's powerful. But if that experience that you've had doesn't then start to make you want to be sent out towards others who don't have this God, then there's still a long way to go to maturity, isn't there? So, it should be no surprise that it's in there already. And so I put a word there, ecclesia. Now, you won't be able to read those, but they're direct photocopies. The left-hand side is the English dictionary, the right-hand side is the Greek lexicon. So let me clarify it a little bit for you so you can read it. If you take the word church, the word means building in the English dictionary, or the organisation of clergy, a religious society, or a corporation. There's even a definition in there about the army, which isn't commonly understood. So my neighbours in the suburb of Banksia Grove would understand church in those first three definitions. Pretty much that's what it means in our culture. That's an accurate definition according to English. But of course, as Christians, we want to find out what the Bible really meant by the word that was being used. So I looked up the Greek lexicon, and the word is ecclesia, which literally it means the ones who are called out. Ek meaning out. Ecclesia has to do with calling. But how it works, the primary meaning of this word ecclesia is a gathering, not just any old gathering, but a gathering for political purposes. Now that's small p for the polis, the town, right, the society. And so it would be a meeting of those people in the town to come together, called out from the main group, to talk about the affairs of the town. There's no religious connotation there. This is just the meaning of the word. When Jesus picked it up and started using it, it wasn't a religious word. It was just this. If you walked around in any of the places in Israel or Asia Minor or wherever the Greek language was being spoken, and you walked up to somebody and you said, "Hey John, where's the ecclesia?" He would say, "Oh, I didn't know it was on today, but it would be down at the city gates or down at the civic offices, some place." They would know what ecclesia meant. It meant the meeting to talk about town affairs. That's its definition. You need to hold that in your mind. It's pretty important. Then its secondary meaning is a general just assembly with no religious connotation. Then there was a reference to ecclesia as the nation of Israel. But think about that. Israel is a nation called out to be a light to the rest of the nations. So it still has this connotation of a group to benefit a greater whole. And then as you continue to read the New Testament, you find a shortening. Instead of in the early days talking about what Jesus said, "I'll build my ecclesia," and having to put a definition, "my ecclesia," and then in the earlier part of the New Testament, the oldest passages, where they're starting to use this term, ecclesia, they say things like the ecclesia of God, Christ's ecclesia, the ecclesia of God that meets in Corinth. So they would add these writers, but as people got more familiar with the term, the writers dropped off and they would just talk about the ecclesia and knew that they were meaning the Christian one. In the same way that when they spoke about the way of Jesus, they shortened it and started talking about the way, and everyone knew they were talking about, because of the context, the way of Jesus, right? So this is the meaning of the word ecclesia, and how it looks, let me quickly run through, is there's like a walled city with the people living in there dotted around, and they would gather together at the city gate normally, or if there were other civic buildings, and they talk about the town affairs, and then they go back into the rest of the community and spread the good will, if you will. So what did they do when they met together? Well, they would basically do these three things. I'm just slightly off to the left there. The first thing is that they would ignore the agenda, probably for the first half of the time, and just build up the friendships. Now, this was standard practice back in those days. And the idea was that we would be able to find solutions to our problems much quicker if we're all friends. So we spend the first half of the meeting just smoothing the friendships. That was standard practice. And so then, after they'd done that, they'd listen to the old-timers, and they'd be learning from them, who knew a trick or two about how the community worked, and then they'd make their plans to actually go ahead and do the serving that was required for the town. That's how it worked. That was an ecclesia in a nutshell. And Jesus said, I'm going to build my one of them. Interesting. So, what makes Jesus' ecclesia different? Well, it's still the same in that you still have the friendship building. In Acts chapter 2, it refers to it as the fellowship. You still have the learning. In Acts 2, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the wise old guys. And they still had the serving because they were looking after orphans and widows and doing all kinds of stuff like that. But what makes Jesus' ecclesia different was that everything that benefits the wider community is seen and operates through the kingdom of God. Now, that should be no surprise because Jesus' basic message was the kingdom of God is where? In the temple? No. Just in the synagogues? No. Where's the kingdom of God? Near you. The wider community, right? So, as you continue to read Acts chapter 2, which is a great summary of the things that the people were doing, you'll see that they were noticing the God stuff that was happening. Signs and wonders. They were able to notice what God was up to. And they responded to that in prayer and worship and praise. That's the second thing. So when the ecclesia meets, it notices what God's doing, and prays and worships. It's devoted to the fellowship. They learn. They serve. And there's some explaining going on in so many words. They were able to articulate who Jesus was and what was going on here so that people could understand it. Because the Lord was adding to their number daily those that were being saved. So that's what makes Jesus' ecclesia different. It's a normal ecclesia, but operating in the kingdom of God for the benefit of the whole town. That's the orientation of the ecclesia. And so out Jesus' disciples would go and benefit the town. Now, compare this to a common notion of church, which I've called the extractional church. Right? Extractional, not attractional. There's nothing wrong with being attractive. That's a good thing. People should look at us and say, I want a piece of that action. That's great. But where it becomes a problem is if they're attracted in to the point where they're extracted from their local community. Right? And so extractional churches will mark their success by how many people they have active in church. But I think Jesus wants to mark success by how many Christians are active outside the church. And a really, really successful extractional church extracts more and more people from the community and ties them up in, you know, the processes of the church and says, aren't we doing a great thing? However, what are they doing to the fabric of that local community? Are they building it up, which is what an ecclesia is supposed to do? Or are they weakening that fabric, which is the opposite of what an ecclesia is supposed to do? It was a pretty jaw-dropping moment when I realised what was going on here in the text. Now, having said that, I need to quickly let you know that you don't have to do the same exact style of ministry that you do in Banksia Grove in order to be an ecclesia. It's about the orientation. So you can be a church, and by that, in the English dictionary, we're talking about the organisational or institutional kind of church. You can be that and an ecclesia at the same time. So Saddleback Church in America is a great example. That's Rick Warren's church. It has all these offices in an old warehouse. And 90% of those offices run ministries that are orientated on their community. It's the orientation of what's going on that counts. Only 10% have to do with the affairs of looking after the flock, so to speak. The rest is orientated on out there. Okay? So just keep that in mind. The orientation is a thing. How you orientate the structures is more important than what kind of structures you have. So there's the bottom line question. How do you share your life with your host community? I remember there was a struggle. It used to be a struggle in my mind when we would start talking about community in the church. Did we mean this community in here or that community out there? We're all about community. I mean this one here. No, in this case I mean that one out there. In Cheers, we don't have that struggle anymore. There's one community, it's Banksia Grove. And we're there, the movement is to build up that community. That's it. The ecclesia meets to build that up. So if we can't use the word church in Banksia Grove, what word do we use? Well, we can't find a single English word to match, unfortunately. So when people say, so what is Cheers exactly? We say this long phrase, which is really clumsy, but it has to do, because it's the only English accurate way of saying it. So we'll say either a neighbourhood network working from a Christian base. Neighbourhood network is the idea of the ecclesia, but working from a Christian base is the Christ's ecclesia. You see what I mean? Or we'll say we're a community development movement. That's ecclesia. Movement designed to develop the community. Community development movement working from a Christian base. We have to say all of one of those phrases. I know it's not so easy, but for accuracy's sake, that's what we do. And we did a word search in the New Testament. We just on the computer punched in the word church, looked up all the references, and then we did a find and what's the word? Not swap. Replace. Find and replace. Those of you computer heads will know what I mean. Of the word church, and we replaced it with town meeting, or we replaced it with community development movement, or we just tried a few different definitions to see how it would work. And what we found was really quite striking. It changed the way you read some of those passages in a really good way, in a missionary kind of a way, in a way that when you read it you think, yes, sent to your local town. So this is Jesus' instance of the word ecclesia. So I tell you, Peter, you're a rock, and on this rock foundation I'll build my town meeting, my kind of town meeting. I've underlined my there. And not even death will be able to overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and what you prohibit on earth will be prohibited in heaven, and what you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. There's already a link being established between what we do out there on earth and the kingdom of God. And if he won't listen to them, then tell the whole thing to the town meeting. That is Christ's kind of town meeting. And finally, if he won't listen to the Christ kind of town meeting, treat him as though he was an outcast. And I'm just picking these verses on their own, but in their context, they stand out even more strikingly. So Paul greeted the town meeting and went on to Antioch. So you can just, you get the gist. Be shepherds in the middle there on verse 17, be shepherds of the town meeting of God, which he made his own through the blood of his son. Greetings also to the town meeting that meets in their house. My host Gaius, in whose house the town meeting, Christ's kind of town meeting, meets, send you his greetings. Erastus, the city treasurer, send you their greetings. So the town meeting of God, which is in Corinth. So if you walked into Corinth and you said, where is the town meeting? There was already an understanding of what that meant, but when Christ's town meeting came to town, there was now another player as well. An ecclesia that worked to the beat of a different drum. But it was still an ecclesia. But it's interesting, if you do that word search in English, you'll miss this passage in Acts chapter 19, because these are three places where the Greek word ecclesia is used, but it's not translated as church. It's translated as assembly or a town assembly. There was an uproar over the fact that because Paul was preaching the gospel, people were leaving Artemis, this god that they had, and it was affecting their trade. They were making silver models of Artemis and the temple, and they realised that if people were being converted to Jesus, they wouldn't be buying their wares anymore, and so the town was all upset about it. And so they had an ecclesia. They had a meeting, town meeting, and to talk about this particular issue. And it was one of the civic leaders, someone recognised by the people, who stood up and finally was able to calm the crowd, because he had a role of being able to do that in the ecclesia. And he basically said, look, if there's a real complaint here, we'll settle it in the proper legal way. We'll go and have an ecclesia and we'll sort it out. And then he dismissed the ecclesia. He dismissed the town meeting, and away they went. It's the same word. Only in this context, it's being used in the more normal, then, secular way. Okay? So, as I said, if you asked, where's the ecclesia, they'd understand you to mean that very community-orientated thing. And it's interesting that Jesus didn't use the word synagogue, which many of our church structures are. The chosen people meet together away from the rest of society. Jesus being Jewish and continuing on the Jewish tradition and fulfilling the Jewish tradition, you would think if that's what he meant, he would have said synagogue. But he didn't. He chose this word ecclesia. And I think that's important for us to consider why. And you find that it's this political, small p, overtone that talks about us being sent out, that talks about mission, extending ourselves out to the community in which we live to bless it. That's the word that he chooses for us. Now, why am I making such a big deal about it? It's because throughout the Christian world, this is the word we most define ourselves by when we meet together. We don't that often say we're the flock. We don't that often say we're the body. Most of the time we say we are the church. And it's this word, ecclesia, that we are. So, let me bump ahead. Talk about when Jesus sent out the 72. That's what we do in Banksia Grove, basically. We very consciously contact people in our neighbourhood, then we connect with them and make meaningful friendships, we care about them, and then just out of that genuine care and concern, we start to communicate who Jesus is, and it just comes out, and then eventually we have to have a more thorough communication about who he is, and then we continue on the friendships. Whether they become believers or whether they don't, we continue on extending ourselves out to those people. Right? That's the rough, quick version of that slide. But in Luke chapter 10, Jesus sends out his disciples to do essentially what we've been talking about. He chose 72, sent them out two by two to go ahead of him to every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said, there's a large harvest but few workers, so pray. Pray not just that people will respond to you, but respond to you to a point where they become fellow workers with you. So they're Christ-centered, but they're sent out. And he says, go, I'm sending you like lambs among wolves. You will be vulnerable out there. Some of you may be scared about the notion of going out and mixing with people in the neighbourhood. Don't be too scared about it. You're meant to be vulnerable. It's okay. Go, anyway. Make contact. That's right. And then he says, when you go into a household, the word doesn't mean house, bricks and mortar like we understand it. It's oikos, and it refers to a network of relationships, mostly family relationships, but extended family relationships. And in a modern equivalent for us, it might mean just a network of friends. So make contact not just with an individual, but realise that that individual has other friends, and make contact with the whole lot. And speak peace to that person, says Jesus, and if that peace is returned back to you in a positive way, in other words, if they're receptive to you, park it there. If they don't respond in kind and they reject you, well, don't sweat it. Move on. But I tell you this, when you find someone who is positive and responsive to you and you park it there, missionary work turns from sweat to sweet. It's just great. The friendship starts to grow. And it's really not such hard work after all. Sometimes people ask us, where do you find your nourishment? In the friendships. I mean, there's another answer to that, and that is that we've matured to a point where we don't always need to be nourished as much as we did when we were new Christians. We've kind of matured now. We can feed ourselves. But there is another answer in that Christ nourishes us through the very people we are sharing our lives with. Anyway, so there it is, the connecting's there. And stay there eating and drinking. Don't move around from house to house. So continue to share life with those people and heal the sick. So we're communicating in deeds as well as communicating in deeds. Say to the people of there that the kingdom of God has come near to them. So there's the four things that we consciously do. We consciously contact, consciously connect, and communicate in spirit, word and deed, and continue with the people. And this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. We're delighted to share not only the gospel with you, but our lives as well. And in that life sharing, that's giving myself. That's love. That's mission. Now, sometimes I go and do this training, and my kids one Saturday morning said, "Where are you going today, Dad?" And I said, "Oh, I'm going to teach some grown-ups." They said, "What are you going to teach them, Dad?" Oh, I thought, how do I explain this to my little kids? I said, "I'm going to teach them how to be friends," which sounded so remedial, you know, so embarrassing. And so my kids, they said, and they just started to answer it. They thought I had asked them. They just started to answer the question, and here's what they came up with. Say hello to them, be nice to them, play with them, listen to them, talk to them, still be their friend even if you fight, do things for them. See, some of you are sitting there going, "Oh, this is heavy theological work. I'm really, you know, struggling to keep up this morning." It's kids' stuff. It's just a matter of getting the orientation of our mind right. Missionary work isn't about gathering people in. It's about sending ourselves out in love. Why don't we pray? Lord God, we live in an impoverished society where the art of community and friendship is being bleached out by suburbia and our commitment to our TV and creature comforts. In the last few decades, it seems we've lost many of the abilities to just spend time with each other. And yet we still want it. Just like humans have forever since you made us. We still want friendship. We still want community and love. But we don't send ourselves out to each other anymore. That's our culture, Lord, but you call us to a different way of living. You call us to be adherents to the kingdom of God, citizens of your kingdom. And you want to give us a new culture in this respect. You want us to contradict our Aussie isolation and send ourselves out in love. Help us to recapture these arts of community and relationship. Help us to recapture how to love in spirit, word and deed. Help us to recapture the orientation of sending ourselves out towards others in our community, so that we would be faithful to you. And Lord, one day in eternity, there won't be a church anymore. There'll be a holy city. There'll be no need for a church to transform the society because it'll be completely already transformed. So we won't need to meet together to encourage one another to transform it. It'll all be done. But until then, Lord, when we meet, help us to encourage each other all the more as we see that day approaching. To send ourselves out in love. Amen. Tonight, I'm going to be raising the topic with the young people, but you're welcome to come, of course. Aren't we being a little bit manipulative? You know, sending ourselves out in love in order that they might become Christians. Is that really love, or is that kind of trying to manipulate people to become Christians? That's a very good question, and we're going to talk about that tonight and then see where we go from there. All right. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Jeff. Just leave that slide up there. We could all do that, can't we? Eh? Can't we all do that on the right-hand side? It's part of the reason why we've tried to free you up most nights of the week so that you've got time to be able to build those sorts of bridges with your neighbours and with your friends. And that's doing the work of the kingdom. That's being a missionary. That's being somebody who's sent. And increasingly, we want to encourage you to that end. It's been so good. Jeff, thanks again, and thanks for unpacking the theology behind your practice and your life, because it's just really helpful, and they're doing some great stuff out there in reaching people who would never come to a church. They've got to be reached more and more. Our mates out there in the world have got to be reached long before they'd ever come to a place like this. And that will only happen as we care. It'll only happen as we're building relationship and friendships and doing all the kids stuff, which is really, as Jesus said, the essence of the kingdom. It's what we've got to become. And it's really what we've got to remain as little children in the kingdom. Great stuff.